The title of the khutbah is The Softness of the Hearts. It has to do with the hearts. And Shaykh began the khutbah by saying that the heart is the place to which Allah Azza wa Jal looks. Allah does not look at our appearances, nor does He look at our body shape or our wealth. However, Allah Azza wa Jal looks at our hearts and our deeds. And it's very important to add the term deeds, because a lot of misconception has resulted from the misunderstanding of this hadith. So inshallah, this misconception will be removed. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Verily Allah does not look at your images or your wealth, rather He looks at your hearts and your deeds." Some people use this hadith to say that it doesn't matter what I look like. I don't have to follow the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam outwardly. I don't have to, because Allah only looks at the heart. But the hadith says, your deeds. And your deeds, your physical, you know, the limbs, the deeds of the limbs are a byproduct of the deeds of the heart. And if the heart was correct, then the body will be correct. And the evidence for that is the famous hadith, Nu'man ibn Bashir, where at the end of the hadith the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ala wa anna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat salah al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat fasad al jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al qalb." Verily in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body will be sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole body will be corrupt, and that is the heart. So when the physical appearance is contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this is a decisive, clear indication that the heart is not sound. It is not healthy, there's a disease. People can claim otherwise, they can deny. Yeah, you can fool the people, but you cannot fool Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We will not be able to trick Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, if our hearts were sound, our physical appearance in terms of the sunnah will be just like the Prophet ﷺ. If you see a discrepancy, it is not sound. And if someone believes otherwise, he's been tricked by the shaitan and he belongs to his group. Be very careful. Because the hadith didn't say Allah looks at your heart, وَأَعْمَالَكُمْ, and your deeds, and your salah, is because of iman in the heart. Siyam is because of iman in the heart. Zakah is because of iman in the heart. The things that have to do with the outward appearance, the behavior of the Prophet ﷺ, all these have to do with the heart. They are interrelated, even if people claim otherwise. So the heart then is that important. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah gave a beautiful depiction. He said the state or the position of the heart in comparison to the rest of the body parts is like the king. And then everyone else, all the body parts are like soldiers. And the king is the one that commands where things should go. You go here, you go there. He's the one who runs the business. He orders, and the body parts act upon the orders. The heart is like the king, and everyone is like a soldier. So it is with your heart that you're able to become upright, or you can deviate from the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, having a sound heart is an indication that this person will be saved on the day of resurrection. Actually, it's a condition for the safety on the day of resurrection. And we all know this in Surah Al-Shu'ara. I believe it's in Surah Al-Shu'ara. The context of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Watru alayhim naba Ibrahim. And then the ayat continued until Allah said, the dua of Ibrahim. One of the ad'iyah, one of the supplications, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, the father of those who established the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And do not disgrace me on the day where they will be resurrected. Then he explained, on the day where no wealth or children will be of any benefit, except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Meaning disgrace on the day of judgment, humiliation and punishment can be avoided by coming or going or meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with a sound heart. If the heart is corrupt, then these privileges are taken away. This is how important the matter of the heart is. So we should strive then to rectify our hearts. Now Iblis, the Satan, also known as Lucifer, he recognized that. And he knew that the heart is the most fundamental body part. So he spends all his time and all his efforts in trying to corrupt our hearts by whispering to them and trying to instill evil in them and place in them love of the dunya and things that the Shaykh will mention later on in the khutbah. And we will not be able then, when this happens, each one of us is one of three people. Once the shaitan has been given some access to one's heart, we are either someone with a sound heart, qalbun salimun, as we heard earlier, this person is, mashallah, he's ready to go to Jannah. We ask Allah to make us among them. The second one is qalbun marid, fi qulubihim marad, and there's sickness in the heart, there's a disease in the heart, and this is someone that is struggling. Sometimes his heart is soft and inclining towards Allah, and other times the heart is evil and inclining towards disobedience. And the last one is the one with the dead heart. قَلْبٌ مَيِّتٌ Dead heart. And this is the worst of all. The dead heart does not recognize anything. Does not recognize good, does not recognize evil. You remind, you speak, you advise, you do all kinds of things and you find absolutely no change. There's nothing you can do for this heart. And this is the heart that has been overoccupied with the worship of the creation of Allah. Any heart which is obsessed with the creation, be it idols, statues, the sun, the moon, any false god that people have made gods amongst themselves, even the dead people in the grave, once someone's heart is attached to them, then you can forget about the soundness of the heart and you can forget about this person having a live heart, period. The only time our hearts will be live and alive is when we connect them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Shaykh will give us some practical means to do so. Iman increases and decreases. It increases with obedience, it decreases with disobedience. And the whole thing revolves around the heart. Every time your iman increases, then naturally your heart will soften and will become in better condition. And every time the iman decreases and you become overoccupied with temptation, then the sickness of the heart will increase and the heart will be hardened. It will become hard, like a rock, like a stone. So whenever you find someone whose heart has been softened and made alive, know that this is an indication that this is someone who is hastening to do good deeds and seeking Allah's pleasure, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this is someone who, if you remind, will be reminded. And how can we, how can we relate to this? The khutbah translation. Let's just say the only reminder one of us gets in the whole week is this khutbah translation. Since all other times we're busy. Classes are held, people are invited, those who show up are 5-6 maximum. Everybody else is too busy. Lectures are held, most people don't show up. Classes are, most people don't care. Islam is on the bottom of the list of important things. Priorities wise, there's no time for Allah. The only time that there is, because of necessity, is Jumu'ah and this khutbah translation. And how many times have we heard some reminders over and over again? Now each one of us, evaluate yourself, and I evaluate myself, do we actually act upon the reminders? If we have not until now, then guess what? The heart is no good, and the iman is low. And we are among those who do not listen, do not take heed when they are reminded. A live heart, however, will panic. When you hear something and you know that this is from the sunnah and you haven't been acting upon it, the live heart would worry. Maybe Allah will destroy me. Maybe I will be punished. How can I deliberately disobey the Prophet ﷺ? And he will leave this masjid with the intention never to do this sin again. If all this doesn't happen, then we know the results. And this is the situation of many people. We ask Allah not to make anyone here amongst them. How do you know that your heart is soft? The one whose heart is soft is one who remembers Allah abundantly. And Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ra'd, those who الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله وتطمئن قلوبهم عفوا بذكر الله. Those who believe and their hearts find relaxation and tranquility in the remembrance of Allah. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. Then the rhetorical question, is it not that in the remembrance of Allah their hearts find tranquility? And the answer is absolutely, absolutely. So the one who remembers Allah often is one whose heart is usually soft. And remembering Allah does not mean strictly saying Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 times after every salah. That is one form of remembering Allah. The ultimate meaning of remembering Allah is that you are remembering Allah. Everywhere you go, every time you do something, you remember that Allah sees you, and that you will be held accountable for the things you do, so you remember Allah and you stop doing what you're doing. That is the ultimate form of dhikr, even though what is included in that is the dhikr of the lisan. Because someone may remember Allah with his tongue, while a woman is walking down the street and he's staring at her. And he's saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Is that really dhikr of Allah? No. It has to be the heart with the tongue. There must be this element of consciousness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's the ultimate form of dhikr. Ya Mudir, drink with your right hand, Habibi. Drink with the right hand. Barakallah feek. And another boy was drinking in the salah during the khutbah. We need to teach our children. This is unacceptable. You cannot pick up a bottle of water and drink while the imam is giving khutbah. You're not even supposed to play with your socks or with your thawb unless you're scratching, unless you have a valid reason. If some people get busy during the salah, if you have to blow your nose, you can get a mandil. If you have to spit, you can use a mandil. Something for necessity. But to play around and get a bottle, move around, walk, no. And the children must be taught the etiquettes of attending Jumu'ah. And actually some of the brothers here were telling me to remind some of the brothers here about bringing their children to the masjid. And I might as well integrate that with the khutbah translation. Bringing the children to the masjid is a wonderful thing if the children know how to behave in the masjid. So we train them before coming, Habibi, when you come to the masjid, this is not a playground. You sit next to, you're next to me, and you don't say anything, and don't do anything, until we finish the salah and go back home. But to bring the child, he starts walking in front of people, running back and forth, jumping around in the masjid, causing havoc, making a lot of noise, this is unacceptable. And we need to teach them the etiquettes of the houses of Allah have rights over us. So this is why you find that, the hadith says, مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ. Now command your children to establish salah at the age of 7. And so the ulama say, you don't have the right to tell your 6-year-old son, do salah. You can teach him how to pray, but you cannot oblige him to pray regularly. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, wait until he's 7. Why? At the age of 7, usually this is the time where they have enough reasoning. And he's able to come to the masjid, relax, behave and go back. Before that, some of them are difficult to control, unless you have trained them. So if we have trained them before the age of 7, alhamdulillah, bring him to the masjid. If he's not trained, the house is the best place for him. Because you don't want people to make dua against you and your son. Right? You come for the barakah, you leave with the dua against you. You know that you never make it to this masjid again, next thing you know you're praying in the next door masjid. Not this one anymore, people can't take it. And we have to be very sensitive concerning the rights of other Muslims, even if we love our children. I don't know how I got here. Anywho, so remembering Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now, there is a vacancy in the heart that is not filled with anything except the remembrance of Allah. A man came to Al-Hasan Al-Basri and he said, he complained to him about the hardness of his heart. He told him, melt it with the remembrance of Allah. Melt this hardness of the heart with the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Among the signs that your heart is soft is that the person who engages in salah, upon entering into salah, all of his worries and stress and problems go away. Not like what happens to us. Once you get into the salah, all the problems and the worries of the dunya come to us. As soon as you enter the salah, you remember the debt you owe to the people and the shopping that you haven't finished and the list that your wife gave you. You didn't remember the list the whole time at work. When you come into the salah, you remember, I didn't stop and buy watermelon. Right? This is something that is experienced. But this is a sign that the heart is no good. Because once we get into the salah, this is when our heart should be in the best state and our worries of the dunya should go away, not come to us. This is why one of the righteous predecessors, when they told him that you have a disease in your leg, which if we don't amputate, it will spread to your whole body. So why don't you drink some alcohol so you can become intoxicated, then we will do it while intoxicated. So you won't feel the pain. He said, I would never try to attain Allah's pleasure by disobeying Him. I'm not going to get treated by Allah by disobeying Allah. He said, wait until I go to salah. Once I get in my prayer, then cut off my leg. And he got into the salah because he didn't even feel it. He didn't even feel his leg being cut off because in the salah he's elsewhere. Now which one of us can say this about himself? You know the answer. You know the answer. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Idhan, if you do feel good in the salah, alhamdulillah, this is a sign that the heart is sound. If not, then we know we need to work on it. Another sign that indicates that the heart is soft is that the one who misses an act of worship is saddened because of that event. Yani, for example, if you missed Salatul Jama'ah, if for whatever reason you overslept during Fajr and you didn't make it for Fajr, or you missed the Saf al-Awwal, the first row, or you missed coming early to the... If anything like that, you actually feel bad. You feel sad. And our righteous predecessors, you know, one of them will be crying outside and they will go give him taziyah, condolences. Why? Did he lose, you know, a big transaction? Did he lose 50 million riyals? No. He missed the salah. He missed the jama'ah. This was a calamity for one of them. Totally normal for one of us. On the other hand, if one of us was to lose some money, he will be stressed out and he may even have a heart attack and die. As it happened to many people, when the news came to them that your business went out, he died on the spot. So, you know, our favoring the dunya over the akhirah is a huge problem. Favoring the worldly life over the life to come is a big problem. The Shaykh will elaborate on that as well. Tayyib, among the signs that your heart is soft is that the one who has this quality, he prefers to be in seclusion away from the people while worshipping Allah. And he finds sweetness and pleasure in doing so. Ibn Mas'ud, one of the senior scholars of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu wa arda, said, fetch for your heart, seek your heart, look for your heart in three situations. And you see if your heart is present and mindful of Allah in three situations. When you hear the Quran, when you are in a gathering of remembrance, in any time, lecture, talk, dars, whatever, anytime you are in a place where Allah Azza wa Jalla is being remembered, and if you are in seclusion. If you do not find your heart in any of these three situations, then ask Allah to give you a heart because you don't have a heart. Yani if the Quran is being recited, then it doesn't make a difference to you. And you say the reminder, you hear a reminder, it makes no difference to you. And you are alone and you're just going on with your life, you don't feel Allah observing you, you don't have this quality of ihsan, that you know that Allah sees you, then you don't have a heart. And so the first thing you need to do is ask Allah to give you one. Now the question comes, where do you bring this quality? How do you acquire the softness of the heart in your life? First and foremost, we should realize that it comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from our Creator. He's the one who gives you the gift of the softness of the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hearts of the slaves are between two fingers of the fingers of Allah. He turns them around as He wills. Now it's very important that when someone is narrating this narration, he does not gesture with his hand fingers. Okay? You don't go with your hand showing the fingers, because لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like Allah. And the hadith says that Allah has fingers, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? Allahu a'lam. What are they like? There's nothing like Allah. So we don't deny the attribute of asabi', We don't deny it because Allah said it and the Prophet ﷺ said it and he's speaking on behalf of Allah. Nor do we liken Allah to his creation. Because when you show your hand, then the image that the people will understand is a human fingers. And Allah is not human. Not human-like, and there's nothing like unto him. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. So the scholars say, you know, you break the fingers of someone who, if he wants to speak about the fingers of Allah, they show you their fingers. Usually it happens by mistake. The average human being, it's something that happens, you know, involuntarily. It just happens. But we have to be very mindful. Keep your hand away. You know, when we speak about this. But we believe, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, believe in everything Allah said about Himself, everything the Prophet ﷺ said about Allah. We don't say there are subliminal messages or hidden meanings. We accept it as is, but we have in the back of our minds, there is nothing like Allah. Allah is beyond our human perception in this sense, so we can say Allah is like this or Allah is like that. There's nothing like Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important to understand that. Anyways, the hearts are controlled by Allah. The hearts are controlled by Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ used to ask Allah often to keep his heart firm on the deen of Islam. So, if Allah then sends this mercy to the heart, suddenly the heart will transfer, it will transform, better yet, from hardness to softness, and from heedlessness to awareness, and the heart from being distant from Allah to being close to Allah. And there isn't anything better for the slave than this. That Allah changes the condition of one's heart. From all this to all the positive things we mentioned, there's nothing better than that for the slave. So much so that Ibn Qayyim said in another hadith, in another statement of his Afwan, he said, the slave of Allah is not afflicted with a calamity worse than the hardness of the heart and being distant from Allah. The worst musibah is not the death of a relative, not the loss of wealth, not the failure in school. The worst musibah that may afflict someone is that he becomes distant from Allah and his heart becomes hard, so that he doesn't return to Allah. This is the greatest musibah. And Allah Azza wa Jal threatened those whose hearts are away from the remembrance of Allah. As Allah says in the Quran, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Wail, you've heard it in many ayat. You've heard it, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ إِلَىٰ أَخْرِهِ, where wailun was mentioned. And wail in English means destruction upon me. As if someone say, may I be destroyed. Destruction has befallen me. Woe to me. So woe to those whose hearts are hardened from the remembrance of Allah. Those are in clear manifest error. They are clearly misguided. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This is very dangerous. And the next ayat are actually relevant. The Shaykh will quote them soon. So if you really then have a mind, then reflect upon your heart. The same way you reflect upon your body. You're always checking your, even the car. If you have a car, you check that there's enough water in the radiator. And you check that there's enough oil for the engine to run. And you check that the mirrors are clean, so when you're driving, you're able to see the... You need it here, right? You need super... If you had 10 more mirrors over here, it would be good for you to survive on the streets of Jeddah. But you make sure the car is maintained. You maintain your body, your car, your household. But we don't maintain our heart. We don't have time to see. Let me see, is my heart sound or not? That's why they say Maymun ibn Mihran, during that time, he went to Al-Hasan al-Basri. He felt there was hardness in his heart. So when he went to Hassan al-Basri, his girl, the maid that was working for him, came out and said, "Ya Shaykh al-Su, oh evil, evil Shaykh, what had allowed you to live until this time?" So he started crying. He was already feeling bad, he's distant from Allah, and he went to Al-Hassan al-Basri so he can get some remedy, he can give him some advice. So as soon as he came, the maid scolded him and made it even worse. He started crying, Al-Hassan heard him. He came out, he embraced him and said, "What is the matter with you?" He said, "I feel hardness in my heart. Do something for me." He quoted 3 ayat from Surah Al-Shu'ara. أَفَرَأَيْتَ إِمَّا تَعْنَاهُمْ سِنِينَ ثُمَّ جَاءَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُمَتَّعُونَ. And he fainted. Do you see, Allah says in the Quran, do you see then if we give them some entertainment for some years. We allow them to follow their desires and live life and enjoy it. Then that which they were promised came to them. Everything that they had benefited from and entertained themselves with will be of no benefit. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُمَتَّعُونَ. It will not do anything for them, all the entertainment that one of us has in the dunya. These strong ayat cause him to faint. But what is the shahid? He was observing his heart. He felt something was wrong, he went to seek a treatment from a doctor, from a sheikh, from an alim. How often do we do that? How often do we do that? We ask about fiqh. Alhamdulillah, it's good to ask about the deen. And we ask about the dunya, you hire a lawyer who will tell you, be careful of this market, this and that. But the matters of the heart, done. Shouldn't be the case. It should not be the case. طيب. Then how do you acquire the softness of the heart? First and foremost, belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Belief in our Lord, Creator and Master. No one knows who recognizes Allah through His names and attributes except that he will find softness in the heart and the depth of his heart. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how do you acquire that? That any time you are reminded that Allah said, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. We hear and we obey. To you our return is our Lord, and we seek your forgiveness. We seek Allah's forgiveness and we recognize we are returning to Him. The true believer is when he's told Allah said, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says we listen and we obey, and not the other way around. So this is how you establish belief in Allah, because if you didn't believe, you wouldn't do. That's why the ulama say, whenever Allah says, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O you who have believed, then Allah will give us some commands. They say, look, depending on your iman will be the carrying out of the command. Because Allah addressed us not as Muslims, not as insan, Ya أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَان, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, وفي الماضي, those who have already believed, you've already believed in Allah, do such and such and such. If we don't do this thing Allah commanded, meaning our iman is not sound either. The more we carry it out, the stronger the iman. Secondly, after believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting and pondering upon the ayat, the universal signs of Allah and the ayat of the Quran. The ayat of the Quran. Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not then reflect upon the Qur'an, or are there locks over their hearts? And how will we reflect upon the Qur'an with no Arabic? It's not going to happen. All of you, my brothers here, you live in a country where the Arabic language is the language of the people. Even though it is not as the same language of the Qur'an and the Sunnah per se, because it's a dialect of the people here, still, predominantly, the language is very close. This is besides the schools and the institutions and the places that have been placed for one to learn Arabic. Let's say the older generation somehow missed it. You're too old to learn, even though that's incorrect, but let's assume so. What about the children? I get shocked when I meet some of the expatriates here who tell me they were born and raised here and he doesn't speak Arabic. Speaks Urdu, speaks English, speaks Chinese, but he doesn't speak Arabic. How come? How come? What is this loss? This is a major loss. If the children are born here, let them learn the language. We will never understand the Quran. We will never reflect upon the Quran. We will never benefit from Taraweeh if we don't know Arabic. It's impossible. Because Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We have made it an Arabic Quran so that you may understand. Not English, not Urdu, not anything else. With all due respect to other languages, there's nothing like Arabic. It's the choice of Allah for His final revelation. So learn the Arabic language. As elderly people, as youngsters, do whatever it takes, spend money. But the generation that comes should be well versed in the Arabic language. Otherwise we will remain in the same loophole. So do the necessary. I'm sure, mashallah, all of us have intellect and have a little money to do something. Send them to an evening school, something. So the kids, the younger generation, are able to learn the Arabic language. Because Allah said, you know, how do you not reflect upon the Quran, and how will you reflect? If the ayah I quoted earlier, if we don't know Arabic, we will not know what I said. But even though these ayat are powerful, powerful reminder for anyone who has a heart, if we don't know, we can hear it in the Salatul Isha, and we have no idea what the Imam said, and we will leave the masjid the same way we came in. But someone who understands, wallahi, it will make a difference in his life. When he hears them, he will go outside, and maybe he was about to disobey Allah, then he will remember Allah said that even if I have a lot of fun, it's not going to benefit me, he will leave it alone. It's you know, it's all related. The Arabic language and understanding the Quran. Look what the Quran does to the believers. Allah says in the same surah, Surah Az-Zumar, Allah sent down Ahsan al-Hadith, the best speech. Kitaban mutashabihan mathani. A book in which its words resemble each other. Mutashabihan mathani, oft repeated. You find that the reminder in the Quran comes very often. The same thing, the story of Musa comes very often. The reminders are repeated. The Jannah is repeated. Jahannam is repeated. It's mutashabih and it is mathani, oft repeated. Now what happens to the believers? تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. Those who fear Allah, their skin shivers. It shivers from this reminder. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then after this shivering in the beginning, their hearts, their skin and their hearts then are softened to the remembrance of Allah. That is the guidance of Allah, whom He guides to whoever He wills, and whoever Allah misleads, then none can guide. Meaning if Allah wants to truly guide someone, He will make him among those who, when the Quran is recited, their skin will shiver, and afterwards their skin and their hearts will soften to the remembrance of Allah. If we don't have that, then we don't have guidance, hidayah in the ultimate sense. And what benefit if one meets Allah with no hidayah? Even if we had a nice car and a big house and a lot of nice thawbs, if we meet Allah with no hidayah, it will be equal to zero. In fact, it may be even a bigger problem against us. So the Quran is the speech, is the reminder, the admonishment of Allah, the Lord of the first and the last. And whoever then reads it, seeking guidance therein, Allah will facilitate for this person the means of acquiring guidance. And the Quran will turn the hearts, as it turns the hearts of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, from darkness into light. And the second part of the khutbah, the Shaykh mentioned other means which will help in softening one's heart, which is remembering Jannah, Paradise, and the Hellfire. May Allah protect us from the Hellfire. If the slave recognizes that he is going towards his Lord, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. This is now to every human being. Verily you are striving and going towards your Lord in such a way that you will inevitably meet Him. You will definitely meet Allah. Every human being will eventually stand before Allah. So when you remember these moments, and that there's hellfire and paradise awaiting you after you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will inevitably cause you to soften your heart and to become in the state of humiliation and humility. Over-occupying oneself with the pleasures of the dunya is among the main reasons why the hearts are hard. The more we love the worldly life, the more we pay attention to the outwardly while ignoring that which is inside. And the more we love entertainment, the closer, the more the heart will be hardened, and the more distant it will be from Allah. And this is why you find the people who are the furthest from Allah are the people who live the most lavish lives. And the person who lives in a state of, you know, let's say poverty, but in a situation where he's not really excessive or extravagance, he will find that this person is closer to Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim. So being over-occupied with the dunya. Thirdly, visiting the graves. Visiting the graveyards. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ initially, in the beginning of Islam, he forbade the Sahaba from visiting the qubur. In the beginning, he said, "Inni, I had originally forbidden you from visiting the graves. However, now I command you to visit them because they remind you of death and the life to come." So in the beginning of Islam, visiting the graves was not allowed. Then it was abrogated with the command of the Prophet ﷺ, who said in the same hadith, before I told you no, now I'm telling you visit the graveyards. Why? You go to the graveyard and you see people. You don't really see people. You see the places where people are resting, who cannot speak, cannot do salah. If you call the adhan, they don't hear it. If you speak to them, they don't hear you. They may be in the same grave, you know, two relatives of yours, who used to visit each other in the dunya, but now when they buried, and between them is a thin wall, there's absolutely no communication between them. And one can be in paradise, in the garden of the gardens of paradise, and the other one is in the pit from the pits of fire, even though they're not right next to each other. In our worldly understanding, and the understanding of the life to come, there's nothing, you know, Allah had made the life to come different than the dunya. So when you visit, you realize, I'm going to be there soon. When you go to the graveyard and you realize one day, people will carry you on their shoulders and they will put you in a grave and they will sit there for a few minutes, make dua for you, and then they will leave you. No matter how much they love you, they will leave you. Even your children will leave you. And after a few weeks, they will forget about you. That's what's going to happen. All the time you spend making money for them, huh? While not teaching them Islam and raising them Islamically and making sure that they're righteous people, the whole time you're making money. As soon as you die, after a few weeks, they get the money, buy a Mercedes, crash the next day, and all your time and effort has gone to waste. And the children learn nothing about the deen of Allah. And then you'll be responsible in the day of judgment for their misguidance and your misguidance and all the time that you were distant from Allah. It's a big calamity. When we bring these things to mind, then we will change our ways. So visiting the graveyard is means to recognize the life to come. Fourthly, being dutiful to one's parents. If you are dutiful to your parents, you're kind to them, you're gentle to them, you bring happiness to their hearts, then Allah Azza wa Jal will make your heart very soft. And perhaps you will enter upon them and do something which pleases them. Then while you leave, they will raise their hands and supplicate Allah for you. And say, oh Allah, have mercy on them, be pleased with them. And all kinds of goodness in this life and the life to come will come to you because of being kind and gentle to your parents, and vice versa. When you're evil to your parents, you mistreat them, you're no good to them, then you may receive from the curse of Allah and His punishment and His wrath what is equal to your undutifulness to your parents. And concerning that, I invite everyone here this coming Monday, inshallah, October 11th, at the International Medical Center, IMC Hospital, bi-idhnillah, I will be delivering a lecture about the rights of parents. The rights of the parents, of course, in English, at the auditorium and the International Medical Center, Monday, 8:40 p.m. Men and women are allowed. Children that make noise are not allowed. Okay, because I lose my concentration quickly, so when they start talking, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. So anyone is welcome to join. There's no registration, no fulus, no money. You know, I've just come, listen, and finish and go home. That's all that is required of you. If you wish, of course. If you don't want to come, no problem. Being dutiful to the parents. Fifthly, being kind and gentle to the poor and the needy. The more you show kindness towards those who are in need, then the softer the heart. And the Prophet ﷺ had taught us, يعني المسحو على رأس اليتيم, to wipe over the head of the orphan. Because he is in, you know, the orphan, by the way, is not like as many people think. It's not the one whose parents died, it's the one whose father died. If a boy is 8 years old and his father died, his mom is alive, Islamically he's a yatim. He's still an orphan. Losing both parents is greater in calamity. But the death of the father is what you know, being an orphan or not revolves around. Not the death of both parents. Because the father is usually the caretaker of the house. In his absence, the boy is in a state of weakness. So wiping over the head of the orphan will soften your heart. Because you are showing kindness to him and he is in great need of someone showing him support and help. And so this is one of the wisdoms behind it. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one as-sa'i 'ala al-armala wal-miskin, the one who is taking care of the needs of the widow and the poor person, is like one struggling in the cause of Allah, or one who's praying all night and fasting all day. You're able to get three things. As if you're struggling in the cause of Allah, fasting all day and praying all night by you taking care of a widow or a poor person, by providing them with their financial needs and accommodation or whatever else they may need. So the Shaykh said at the end, the sixth mean is to seek refuge with Allah and to actually to make dua, beg Allah to give us a sound heart. At the end of the day, it is a gift from Allah. And we have to make an effort, but it is ultimately a gift from Allah. And the best way to acquire Allah's gift is by asking Him. Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call on me, I will respond to you. That's Allah's promise. So each one of us really should make this part of his deen, part of his dua. Oh Allah, give me a soft heart. Give me a sound heart. Protect me from the sick heart, from the dead heart. Because on the day of judgment, nothing will save us except a sound heart. So we should make dua abundantly that Allah Azza wa Jal purifies our hearts and keeps them away from shubuhat and shahawat, from doubtful things and from desires. Verily is able to do all things. And this was the conclusion of the khutbah. He mentioned a few things that were not in the actual papers concerning some of the stories of the Sahaba. I don't recall all of them directly, and I have some other reasons why, you know, whatever. But the bottom line is, I know some of you may say, but you missed something. No, I didn't. It's not in the paper, and furthermore, there's some issues concerning it. So this is the khutbah translation. Jazakumullah khairan. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بارك الله فيك.
ما يقدرين لا إله إلا
الله. الله يرحمه. 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 ال